Good morning. I've spoken to many of y'all this morning. Welcome back to Finders Keepers. I was remarking to somebody how, you know, it's funny how in our culture you are taught to do everything. You know, you're taught to drive and you're taught, you can watch YouTubes on how to, you know, do the new iOS 10. But we're not taught how to do the most important thing in our lives, relationships. You know, when it comes to relationships, we just kind of are supposed to wing it. You know, what did mom and dad do? What does Meredith Grey and McDreamy do? You know, we sort of had to wing it. And a lot of what's important to me is this sort of teaching. Like, why don't we learn how relationships work and how we grow? Marriage is hard. Chris Rock, you know, the great Reformed theologian. I'll be citing him several times today. Chris Rock says, marriage is so hard that Nelson Mandela got a divorce. All right? Nelson Mandela had been in prison for 27 years, an African prison, in solitary confinement, being beaten and bad food. And then he was released, and he went home, and he spent 6 months with his wife, and he got a divorce. It's like, I can't handle this, you know. That's how hard marriage is. Last night we talked about four areas that we sort of have to have ticking in order for relationships to work and actually for real life to work. Issues of closeness, issues of separateness, identity, limits, making sense of badness, and issues of authority. By the way, they spell ABBA to help you remember the four of them. But mostly we said, These are character abilities. The make and break deal, whether you're talking about your relationship with God or with each other, is that humility that says, I want to learn. Yeah, you're right, I don't do this very well. What confession is technically, the word means to agree. It means to say, yeah, I get that. I am that way. All right. And our point last night was that our marriage is struggle, not just because you or me is a jerk, but because we're literally lacking character abilities. And one of the things I find when I do therapy is, you know, as we said last night, you know, if you're depressed because you have trouble, you know, feeling, letting in connection and love, you can learn this ability. And when you learn the ability, when you develop that capacity in your heart, the depression starts to lift. We said that marriage is struggle not because you're just a jerk, but because we're lacking some of these abilities. And we need them to make relationships work. We need them to make all of life work. Okay? How's your job going to go if you can't risk failing? How's your obedience to God going to go if you don't understand the category of submission? You singles, our goal is to sort of equip you. I want you to hear ahead of time sort of how to choose and how to live in such a way that you can have a good marriage one day instead of just, you know, falling in love and getting married and finding out this person has no clue how to, you know, share their heart. So I want you growing to be a better searcher with kind of informed eyes. This morning we're going to look at two of our categories from last night, the issue of attachment and closeness and intimacy. In other words, can I let you in and can I keep you in? We're going to unpack that right now. And then second session, we're going to look at the issue of conflict. There are a lot of places you could go with this issue of can I be me and let you be you. But one of them is, how do you make sense of conflict? What do you do with fights? I want to get real practical on that one. I wish we could unpack them all. I have a website, johncoxpsychology.com, and I've got talks that unpack the rest of these on that website if you ever want to go there. So let's get started talking about intimacy. I mean, like, you know, if you're going to be married, you might want to learn what it means to be emotionally close. Call me crazy, but, you know. And us guys get a lot of the stereotypical hassle about the whole intimacy thing, though it's not always the guy, trust me, but it's often deserved. This joke communicates where us guys often are in our marriage relationships. This little boy and this little girl are playing one day, and the little girl says, hey, Johnny, do you want to play house? And he says, yeah, sure. What do you want me to do? And she says, intimately communicate your feelings. That's what I want you to do. And he says, I have no idea what you're talking about. And she goes, perfect. You can be the husband. So you ladies want intimacy and, you know, roses and poetry, and the guy's favorite hobbies are like commitment to relationships and growing to improve myself. You know, I'm John, I'm glad to meet you. And instead, you know, you end up with us. If you marry a Southern boy, you're dealing with a guy whose ultimate means of expressing emotional endearment is to spray paint your name on an overpass. You know, so it's difficult sometimes. But understanding this kind of intimacy and connection is what marriage is for. Okay? Naked and not ashamed. Remember? Like we said last night. And as we alluded to last night, that statement, naked and not ashamed, is not referring to the, if you choose to forego your individual rooms, fantasy suite episode of The Bachelor. Okay? It's talking about safe at last, relationship. It's okay to not be alone. And we said how we were created for that. And when God says that, it's not good for the man to be alone, that's not just the creation of marriage. It's the creation of connection in general, of relationship in general. That applies to the fellowship we were talking about last night. So God calls this abiding. Shrinks call it emotional intimacy. And last night we called it, can I let you in and can I keep you in? This talk's going to essentially expand that. And we're going to apply this to marriage, but here's a freebie. This whole issue of emotional connection is key to being healthy in general. In other words, like I said last night, the reason therapy works is because for some reason, I don't know, if you bring your broken parts into a relationship, they get better. God made us in some ways that if parts of us are left alone or kept in secret or in the darkness, they never get better. Which, by the way, is one of the reasons that gossip is so condemned in the Bible, because if I gossip your secrets, you'll never tell them and you'll keep your own heart secret, and that means you'll never grow. Gossip is the growth destroyer, okay? Because the only hope we have for growing is to be able to be known again relationally. So that's another part of attachment, is just being connected to each other and connecting to parts of me that are broken and can't do stuff. What will heal them is being in a relationship, okay? That's a whole other show. We can do Q&A about it if you want. But we're going to be focusing on the romantic relationship, marriage aspect of this. But this is a human issue. This is core to us. Humans who aren't connected start to devolve. We get worse, right? So, back to marriage and intimacy in marriage. We're going to look at three things this morning. What intimacy is, sort of levels of it. I want you to have a sense of what it looks like, what it sounds like. Number two, the ways we can struggle with it, and some dances that couples get into that make it mess up. And number three, how you both can be growing to do it better. So, first, what do we mean when we're talking about intimacy? I was just thinking one day that, you know, people are always talking in marriage conferences or whatever about, you know, you need to have better intimacy or you need to have better communication. And I backed up my thought, well, what does that mean? If I was, you know, sitting in the crowd and some guy starts talking about intimacy, what is he really talking about? So I want to try to explain what it is and what it's not. In order to understand intimacy, you've got to realize there's different levels of it, in a sense. Kind of concentric circles of it. Talking about emotional intimacy is sort of like talking about being rich. It's a relative term. Being rich in South Beach, Miami is one thing. Being considered rich in Antlers, Oklahoma is another one. Yes, I had to look that up. In the same way, being emotionally close is a relative term, and there are different circles of it. So when one spouse says, I really want to know you, and to their spouse, that means, you know, like, yeah, I like light starch in my shirts. We good on that? You know, then we got a problem, all right? So I want you to be able to get on the same kind of levels of what intimacy looks like. Four levels of it. Number one, I call the drive-through level. And essentially, this is the level, I call it that because this is the level of personal intimacy wherein you say things like, would you like fries with that? Okay? This is on the elevator when you say, would you press 2 for me? This is people you just cross paths with. You know, how you doing? Fine. Is this describes the depth of your marriage? Please see me after class. All right. So let's move on to number two. I call it news, sports, and weather. Basically, this is where you chat with people. This is what we were all doing here this morning. Isn't it a beautiful morning? You know, how was your night? Can't believe it's so warm outside. In other words, get it? News, sports, and weather. It's what we do when we're chit-chatting with people. And most relationships begin there, and all relationships go there some. And it's okay. It's good to be able to be superficial. I had a friend in California when I was in school, and she was unable to be superficial. And you'd see her on campus, and you'd go, "Hey, Sally, what's up? How you doing?" She'd go, "Well, actually, I've been feeling a lot of despair." And you go like, "Back at you, all right, you have a good one, yeah, all right." You know. So it's good to be able to do new sports and weather, just to sort of shoot the breeze, all right? If you stay there, you'll be well-informed, you'll know a lot of scoop, but it's superficial. Some marriages settle into that, you know. They sort of live with what happened at work today or, you know, what'd you see on Facebook, and that's all they do. That's kind of the roommate phenomenon. Those folks have kind of given up at some level, all right? Let's not give up. Next level, I call TCB. We got any Elvis fans here? Anybody know what TCB means? Taking care of it. Actually, this should be TCB, taking care of business, baby. All right? Elvis and his Memphis Mafia, that was one of their sayings. It's like we're taking care of business. Elvis, taking care of business. All right. So, taking care of business is where we live practically, you know, with your friends or coworkers or whatever. This is your thoughts. This is your opinions. This is problem solving, taking care of business. Get it? And we say things here like, I like the food at Applebee's, or I think we need to stay within our budget, or let's get a used car. And in other words, let me solve that problem. Let me give you an opinion. All right? That's what TCB is about, taking care of business. This is Martha in the Bible doing and working. This is what I'm doing right now, technically. It's what Mike did to get us started. It's probably where you spend most of your time. This is kind of practical life. And this is legit. Okay? If this was a talk on being practical, we'd close in prayer. All right? You got to make life work. And, though, granted, this is more intimate than anything we've talked about so far. This is your opinions. This is your heart in the sense of your thoughts, your solutions. But it still isn't your deepest heart. Okay? And this is a talk on intimacy. Saying I think we should put Junior in a different school is not a disclosure of personal intimacy. I still don't know you yet. So, though TCB is really useful, practically speaking, if TCB is all you do, then your life's going to run like a sewing machine and people are going to like you. But actually, it will be sadder than that scene where they lock up Dumbo's mother. Okay? Because there'll be a real sense in which people do not really know you. Adam had meaningful work to do in the garden, and God said, "Not good. Need intimacy." Which leads us to level four, which God calls abiding, so I will too. This is Jedi level, boys and girls, all right? This is where I'm finally strong enough emotionally to sort of give up having to be Steve McQueen or Martha Stewart or whatever and actually get to be the person that you are with the person that you're with, okay? This is let you in from last night. This is where I get to look in someone's eyes, and I get to see their eyes look back at me, and I know that they know, like, garbage about me, and those eyes still love me. You have to be known for that to happen, and you don't get this at any other level, okay? There's another way of saying this. We all have a true self, okay? Another Chris Rock comment. Chris Rock says, when someone first meets you, they're not meeting you. They're meeting your representative. Somebody sent ahead to make you look good, all right? Your true self is who you really are, who you are kind of by yourself, okay? How you feel about your life, what it's like to be you. It's your experience of life, okay? Think about it superficially. if you want to start to get a vibe for what kind of let you in intimacy means. You get up in the morning. What do you experience? What do you think about subjectively? You look towards your day and you think, oh, God, it's just Monday. But that report's due Thursday. And have a fun lunch today. I hope traffic's not bad. You have this inner world of what's going on for you. Do you hear the me being communicated there? That's you, all right? Everyone shake hands with you, all right? Anyway, Elvis's, this is why your spouse wants to talk about your day, like what you did. It's not because they're secretly writing the life of Dr. John L. Cox. It's because your experience of your life emotionally, subjectively, is your heart. They want to know you. What was it like to be you today? What'd you do? Tell me about your day, okay? They're not wanting to go over every meeting you're, like, ready to forget. They want to know what it felt like to be you today, okay? All right, that's an easy one. That's superficial. Let's go deeper. Your real heart. And these are the things that we feel that are tender or that are vulnerable or that are meaningful. Can I share those with you? Love, sadness, joy, whatever. I'm going to illustrate it for you. I want to get unsuperficial, untheoretical here, and let you hear what it sounds like. I'm going to tell you the same story, TCB version and abiding version. And I want you to listen and feel for the difference. My daughter Bonnie is 24 and is a nurse, and she just started working at, my office is at an office building next to Baptist Hospital in Jackson. So I'm over at the hospital a good bit. Anyway, she's got a job at labor and delivery at Baptist. And she went through nursing school, and it was, you know, we all cheered her on, and then she all of a sudden got this cool job, and she's there at the hospital. And one day I'm walking through the lobby, and all of a sudden I'm turning around, there she is. It was really great. That was TCB. Abiding version. Bonnie is one of the most hardworking kids, and she doesn't do school easily, but she wanted to be a nurse always. And she slaved through school, and we prayed her through school. And then, you know, merciful Lord, she graduated and immediately got this job right next to my office at the hospital. And so one day, I'm walking through the lobby of the hospital, and I see in front of me this little blonde nurse. You know, they're all little blonde nurses. It's like Oompa Loompas, you know, they're all the same, you know. And all of a sudden, this one turns around and looks at me. It's Bonnie. And she's got all the little dangly stuff on, you know, identification cards and all that. And her eyes just lit up and mine did. It was unbelievable to see her there. Feel the difference? And the second one, I gave you my heart. This is what your spouse means when they're going, I don't feel like you're letting me in. If all I told you was the first story, I wasn't letting you in. I just let you in. You feel the difference? Good. We're learning. Okay? That's intimacy. All right? So, can I share your heart and let you know what it feels like to be me? What it was like to be me in that moment? That's all intimacy is. Nothing spooky and psychological. Okay? We're not rolling chicken bones here. Right? God said we're created for this with Him and each other. It's not good for the man to be alone. So, part of letting you in is sharing me and, actually, before I go beyond that, you singles, I want you to have a reference point for this too, okay? I want you to be thinking as you're dating, as you're going out, your relationship needs to be building downward, okay? Like, I want you to look for relationships with people who can go to the emotional connection level, all right? And that can't be overnight. Relationships can only bear the amount of intimacy they have earned. I had a young lady in my office a couple weeks ago, and she's like, well, I mean, I told him about all of my emotional problems and all of my emotional growth on our second date, and he hadn't called me back yet. And I'm like, okay, can't imagine why, all right? So you sort of have to earn this. But I want this to be a category of something that you're pursuing and you're dating. Let's talk about feelings for a second. Because a lot of this is about feelings. And a lot of what was different in my Bonnie story was how much I gave you my heart and my feelings. Feelings get a bad name in Reformed Christianity, even Evangelical Christianity, and they always have. Remember the old Campus Crusade train? It was fact, faith, and feelings were kind of a caboose. And fact kind of pulls the train. And feelings are the caboose because you kind of really don't need a caboose. You know, if you have to dump the caboose, the train's going to be fine. And primarily we've said that because our faith is fact-based. You know? I mean, God is real, regardless of how we feel about it. And you all read Babylon Bee, the little Christian satire site? There's a new one that said, Evangelical Church promotes a theology of sola feelings. Y'all know sola fide, sola gratia, sola scriptura. Sola feelings is a new theology, and it's like, if it really kind of doesn't feel good, you don't have to believe in it anymore. Anyway, we don't believe that, all right? We believe in the truth. So in fact-based decisions, like does God exist or is that truck going to hit me, how you feel about it is really not that relevant, all right? And that can make us see feelings as not important. But relationally speaking, what you feel is the core of who you are, relationally speaking. If we had a discussion after this meeting about some non-emotional topic, like, you know, how to change your oil, you probably wouldn't remember it. But if we had a discussion and I hurt your feelings, I insulted you, you would remember it a long time. And 2 years from now, somebody would bring up my name and they go, John Cox, you know what he said to me once? It would hook you. Why? Because I've hurt your feelings. Okay? What you feel emotionally has to matter in a relationship. How people feel has to be a respected part of that. I was seeing a couple once, and she came in the door already crying. And, you know, she sits on the couch, and he's still walking in, and I closed the door, and she said, he hurt me so much. He said I was fat. Now look at him, and he's a total TCB, left brain, non-emotional guy. In fact, he was like a real, like a logical brainiac type. I think he had actually like built his own positron collider in the backyard or something. But anyway, he looks at me, and he looks at me, and he kind of goes, well, she is, isn't she? And I'm like, you know, vaya con Dios, Jose. And he was totally not connected with what it felt like to be a person, how people hurt, or how people need, or how people are vulnerable. So that's intimacy too. Sharing me, but can I hear you? Can I let you in? In other words, this is empathy. You know, the shrink term empathy means not same as sympathy, that I feel bad for you, but I can try on how you feel. How much could you touch my feelings about Bonnie when I told the story? Did you feel it? Did it get in? You felt it? Anybody? Okay, good. Right. You're getting it. If you felt that, if you felt the difference, you felt, God, that meant a lot to John. Okay? You get it. That's what empathy is. One of the deepest ways to be loving and intimate in a relationship is to be able to hear and catch and feel what somebody else is experiencing and try it on. All right. So, intimacy. Bringing who I am to a relationship. Hearing who you are in the relationship. Okay? Not rocket surgery. But people often get squirrely when I start talking about closeness and intimacy. Why? Why do we not all rush to level 4 intimacy all the time? I mean, God created us for it, right? Why do we kind of resist this sometimes? Anybody? Right. Yeah. Number one, because it's vulnerable. It's open. It's scary. And since we're fallen, knowing real me can get kind of sticky. Before the fall, we're told Adam and Eve were naked and what? Not ashamed. Right. Well, the reason the Bible makes a very clear point of that they were not ashamed, is because that's unusual. The rest of us, when we're naked, we're ashamed. I don't want you to see real me. I'm afraid. I want you to think I'm 10 feet tall, good-looking, and bulletproof. Okay? So this is one of the problems with the human race, by the way, is that what we need more than anything else is love, and what we are afraid of more than anything else is the vulnerability of love. Okay? This is what Paul means when he says we are subjected to futility. I tell young therapists who are just trying to give to their clients and help them feel good about themselves, I'm like, you'll never understand therapy until you realize that the person sitting in your office is longing to be loved, and they are longing to run to the smoky mountains away from love as fast as they can at the same time. And until you can get out of that double bind, they're not going to grow. So anyway, this is one of the reasons that marriage is so hard, is because we all fear exposure and shame, and we would hide if we wanted, but marriage throws the most vulnerable parts of us out into the open. Whether you want to hide or not, your spouse knows you, okay? I'm not sure I want her to. And here I am inviting you to intimacy, okay? So this is you may feel ambivalent about this topic. Intimacy is what we're created for, and it's what makes marriage rich, and yet it is vulnerable. This is one of the reasons that affairs are appealing, by the way, especially the superficial kind. People say, you know, I love Trixie because she understands me. And I kind of want to say, no, your wife understands you. She knows you're a jerk. The truth is, you love Trixie because she doesn't understand you. She thinks you're wonderful, you know. So in real relationships, the problem is we can get hurt if we're known. So scary stuff. Any other reason why we might get kind of clueless here? Might struggle with the intimacy thing? Yeah, Rich. Yeah, we're woundable there. Is that what you mean? Yeah, right. I'm going to tie that into the first one, is if I'm open and vulnerable, I might get hurt there for real. That's why empathy is so important, so I can go, oh my gosh, I did hurt you, didn't I? Ugh, I really totally missed you. You got it. In other words, we come back to our humility thing. Another reason I find a lot of people don't get this is, remember I was telling you all evening last night, these are capacities that you have to learn. You have to be, in a sense, taught how to be close. A lot of times people grow up in families in which no one is interested in going below the surface. A lot of times people just kind of learn to keep it to yourself. They grow up in families in which no one really cares about what it feels like to be me. Or mom's feelings dominate the house. Or dad's alcoholism makes everybody hide. So we never learn, and it feels like a strange category. Years ago, Norm and I were out at a restaurant, and this family of four comes in and sits down at a four-top. And they all sit down, and they all pull out books, and they all start reading. And the waitress comes and hands them out menus, and they look at their menus, apparently deciding what they want to eat, put their menus down, and get their books back out. And then the waitress comes, and they place their order looking up from their books, and then they go back to their books. And we were spellbound. I mean, we kept ordering more coffee, you know, because it was like they're going to not ever say a single word to one another. They're like going to read the entire time. And their food comes and they put their books in their left hand and they eat with their right hand. And they go through an entire meal and they never said a single word to each other with all their noses buried in four different books. I guess nowadays it would be iPhones. But, I mean, what's Billy going to be taking, little Billy going to be taking in his marriage? You know, what's he learning about intimacy? His wife's going to say, Billy, where are you? He's going to say, page 32. Wow, you know. So a lot of reasons intimacy can be hard, but it's core to us and we need it. Another by the way, there are a lot of by the ways in this talk. I think this is the fundamental foundation for sexuality. 99% of the people who I see who have struggles in their sexual life, the problem resides here in the intimacy part of their relationship. A lot of the reason people can struggle with sexual acting out, like affairs or pornography, is because sexual acting out is a really interesting sort of intimacy substitute. It's like methadone for heroin, all right? It sort of triggers some of the same romantic-y emotional feelings as intimacy, but without the intimacy, all right? So a lot of times when people are struggling with sexual acting out, I look at what they do with level one attachment, huge one there. Anyway, 99% of people who struggle with sexual problems in their marriages, the problem resides in the intimacy part of their relationship. There's a sense in which sex is just the physical expression of the emotional intimacy that you should be having, the abiding. Okay, that's why department stores call it intimate wear. Okay, get it? So, T.C. Beers, left brain types, this is why your emotionally connected spouse can kind of look at you like you're crazy if you've been kind of emotionally disconnected all day, and then all of a sudden you swagger up to them and go, hey, let's get frisky tonight. Okay? For them, that's like you said, I've left the United States. I don't really do that whole patriotism thing. I kneel at the national anthem. But let's have a big 4th of July party tonight. And they're like, what? Are you crazy? 4th of July is to celebrate America. I thought that you, like, disconnected from America. You've been watching TV all day. And they're like, yeah, I know, but I just like hot dogs and fireworks. I don't get it. You know, it's a problem. Okay. To them, that's really confusing. You're wanting the ultimate expression of intimacy without the intimacy. Okay? That can make them feel kooky. On the other hand, you abiders, another part of sex is just fun, and your TCB spouse gets that, so don't knock it till you tried it. Sex is a language of intimacy, and it's a language of fun, and those kind of weave together in a mutuality kind of way. All right? But I think God made sexuality primarily to be a way of communicating intimacy and oneness. That's why it's so protected. If it was just for fun, it wouldn't be as protected and guarded as it is. Another, by the way, I'm pushing on abiding because it's our topic. But legitimately, abiding and TCB are both really important. Okay? Practically speaking, I don't think that you will live this sort of like abiding level of intimacy, you know, day to day. This will not be what you spend most of your time doing. You know those couples who do, they're both abiders, you know, and they spend like all day long, all the time, you know, arm in arm and kind of gazing into one another's eyes, and there's like 6 kids in dirty diapers and 2 rusty Volvos in the garage, you know, and it's like nobody's running this show. They're just into abiding. So practical life is important, and that's, by the way, one of the reasons that us abider types married these problem solvers in the first place. Okay, they seem so grounded and practical compared to us, and they kind of help our lives run. And we really like that. It feels safe when you meet them and when you fall in love with them. And then later on, you resent them for being so non-emotional. Okay? God, what's your problem? You're so unemotional. I know. I'm making your life happen. So, get the value of this, all right? TCB is not bad. It's just not abiding. And this is a talk on abiding. The goal, by the way, another by the way, is to be integrated. All right? Again, we're talking about polarities, TCB versus abider, and it's not either or. This is a continuum again. But the goal is to be integrated, to be able to solve problems and stay grounded, and also to be able to be connected and intimate, like Christ, okay? People talk about personality types, like, you know, I'm a this or I'm a that. And that's cool, but I think the goal is wholeness with Christ as sort of the model. So, in marriage growth, TCB needs to be learning about intimacy, connection, empathy. Abiders need to learn more about containing feelings, not dumping my emotions on you, being able to solve problems, being able to do a little frontal lobe. So there's growth for each. Which leads us to another balance. We've been talking a lot about part one of abiding. Can I let you in? But remember the other side of this. Can I keep you in? Abiding, connection, attachment has to have both of these big time. As we said last night, some of you are listening to this and you're so excited your spouse is hearing this talk about being closer and more open. But the question I want you to be asking is this. What do you do with intimacy when you get it? Am I able to hold on to their love? Am I able to trust it? Am I able to use it as a fuel tank and keep it? Remember that guy who said, you know, women need 5 meaningful touches a day? Well, in this regard, my question to her is, what'd you do with the first 4, honey? Those were meaningful too. How much reassurance do we need that our spouse loves us? How much connection do we need to feel connected? We have to take some responsibility for that, abiders, okay? You singles, are you panicking when he doesn't text you back? You know? And after, like, long enough time waiting, you're sending, like, emojis, you know? That's annoying. Feeling insecure if they aren't telling you you love them. Anyway, that sort of lack of trust, that lack of can I keep you in, can feel a little suffocating to daters, and they'll pull away from you. And you'll go, oh my gosh, my relationships never work out. Okay? So you can be a lot more attractive to the degree that you are more able to keep love in. All right? Now, in marriage, this can kind of create an interesting dance. If you struggle with keeping in. Let's talk about dances. All right. Basic principle of marriage is that marriage problems. Ooh, I'm glad I'm thinking about talking about this because this is so key. Marriage problems are never cause and effect. Marriage problems are never cue ball hits the eight ball in the corner pocket. All right. Marriage problems are cyclical. Marriage problems are like that water cycle table you learn in science in sixth grade, you know, where water evaporates and then it condensates and then it precipitates. And you know the water cycle, you probably did a science project on it. Anyway, marriage problems are like I do A, which kind of makes you do B, which sort of makes me do A more, which sort of makes you do B more. And we'll do that to the old folks home, okay? Now, one of the most important keys you can do to help your marriage, and I want to teach you about it here, is learning to find out what your dances are. In fact, I like doing pre-engagement counseling more than premarital. Premarital's too loaded, man. You got the moms involved. They've ordered invitations. You can't say no to them. You just got to like rubber stamp them. But you see them pre-engagement, and you got a lot more kind of wiggle room. I'm a big fan of that. But one of the things that I do in pre-engagement is I want to help a young couple learn their dance now. Because you're going to be doing it for the rest of your life, all right? Or you're going to need to stay on top of it for the rest of your life because these are going to be your default modes. This is going to be the way in which the water is going to run downhill. So we're going to be talking about some dances both in this talk and in the next one, but I want you to start learning them. I saw this couple once, and the dude actually was more the abider, and he really struggled with keeping you in. He struggled with feeling secure and loved. He kind of needed his wife to sort of be a little fireworksy and excited about him and kind of, you know, puffing him up a bit and reminding him how much she adores him and loves him all the time. And without that, he would start to feel insecure. Now, she did love him, but she's just kind of low-key. She was steady, always there, never unstable, loved him, but not a lot of fireworks. And he didn't like this. And he would say things to her like, hey, love you. Which is not to tell her that he loves her. It's to say, hey, tell me again that you love me. Okay, he's like fishing for reassurance here. Now, you can imagine over time, she starts to hear that and roll her eyes like, I love you too. Like that. All right? Which kind of irritates her. And then he's like, wait, what? She's like, nothing, I love you. He's like, yeah, but the way you said it. Okay, you see the dance starting? He feels insecure, so he's fishing for reassurance. And now she feels like he's gone one down like, Mommy, do you love me? Which is a real turn on to her. And so she starts to resent it and pull back, which makes him start to panic. And like, now he's right. I can't keep you in because you're not there. All right, and so they get in this nasty dance. So I'm not saying that she didn't have some room to grow in terms of her ability to be a little bit more ebullient in terms of how she related to him. But my question for him was, can you be settled and grounded and strong in knowing who you are in the image of God, your ability to hold love inside, that the love she loved you with yesterday that you did believe has not gone away? Can you hold on to the keep you in peace? All right? So another secret of the universe, part of intimacy and love is being able to express love. And part of intimacy and love is being able to trust love and manage my own emotional needs in my heart with my safe people, body of Christ, with God. Otherwise, we live in that hunger and urgency and your spouse is supposed to meet it and you're off to the races, okay? All right, let's talk about some more dances, dances with intimacy. Kind of like dances with wolves, only like no Indians. There aren't many Indians here. All right. A lot of times you'll have a real abider who's married to a real TCBer. You just kind of tend to see that, all right? And the abider, let's say, comes to him. We'll say it's him because it's usually guys who are more the TCBers. Like I told you last night, my wife and I are backwards, and I find that not to be uncommon. But let's say she comes with all these feelings. I'm afraid of this, or I really wish that, or I've really been sad today about so-and-so. All these level four feelings she's bringing. Now, what does TCB Elvis say? He says, well, why don't you take up jogging? Or let me talk to her. I'll tell her where she can put her carpool. You know, in other words, who cares about what you feel? That doesn't change anything. Let's fix the problem. Now, why do they do that? Because they're jerks? Because they don't care about your feelings? No, because that's what level three is all about, remember? They're about solving problems. That's where they're relating. That's where they're wired. If you're communicating something that is about emotional connection to someone who lives at the problem-solving level of communication, they no speak of the language, okay? They know habla. It's like, you know, brain lock. This program has performed an illegal operation and, you know, that sort of thing. You're in two different universes, okay? So it's not that either of you are like bad people or something. It's that you're getting off at a different floor, okay? And this explains half of our communication problems, which is one of the reasons I wanted to give you all the levels. So, TCB, Elvis. What she means when she says she wants you to hear her feelings, or for Elvira, Priscilla, whatever, the female TCBers, what he's meaning when he wants to tell you about how hard his work day was today, is that for level four people, and I think all of us need to have this, our feelings communicate the deepest part of who we are. You know what I feel, you know me. You felt like you knew me better after the second Bonnie story than the first one, right? You got to know my heart, okay? So if you care about relating in a loving way to your spouse, and if you care about developing intimacy in your marriage, learn the validity and see that feelings and what we are in our heart matters. God calls that our heart, and it is our core. Now, granted, feelings do not always make sense, all right? One night, Norma wakes me up in the middle of the night, just elbowing me. And I'm like, what? And she says, I'm angry at you. I'm like, okay. And she said, I just had this dream, and we were driving through the desert, and you just drove off and left me there. I'm like, go back to sleep. I'll come pick you up. I mean, what am I supposed to say to this? You know? So, feelings aren't always going to make sense, all right? But they're the deepest part of being close. And y'all are going to get tired of me going, and, because there's two sides of all these things. But if you're going to understand marriage, you've got to understand there's this balance and this ebb and this flow back and forth. The TCBers do have a point. Feelings are important, but TCBers have a point. I saw a couple once, and he was the TCBer, and learning all about how to quit solving her problems. You know, she'd say, I'm feeling sad, and he'd try to like, well, we could call your mom and we could do this. And she's just like, no, I want you just to hear me. Just care. Quit trying to solve everything. So he comes down on his way to work, and she's like cooking breakfast and the kids. And she's like, baby, I just went outside, and there's a flat tire on the car. It's a flat. And he's like, I love you, and I understand that that would cause you a lot of feelings. Now I'm going to work. Okay. And he was teasing her, of course. He fixed the tire. But I thought the point was good. All right, more dances. Abider wants to be all close and intimate. TCBer wants to solve problems and be done with it. In fact, most TCB people actually have an emotional, don't tell them we're saying this, they have an emotional need to solve problems and be good at fixing things. Okay? But all that problem solving is not very emotional and not very intimate, and so that doesn't make the abider very happy. So what does she start doing? She starts demanding intimacy from Elvis. She starts criticizing him for being such a distant flatliner. She's wanting closeness. He's pulling away, and she's saying things like, well, all you want is sex. Instead of getting married, you should have just stayed in the frat house. B Being with you, being married to you is like being married to an android. You know, and these things, of course, just woo him to her, you know. So how does problem-solving Elvis hear these comments from her? As super critical. You feel the dance developing? She wants intimacy. He doesn't do it. She's critical. He feels criticized. Now, what's he going to do next? What, to his ears, she's done the worst thing she could possibly say, and that is to a problem solver that you're not solving the problem. You're making me unhappy. I'm still unhappy, okay? Now he feels like a loser, like nothing he ever does is going to be enough for her, which I find is the number one complaint I hear from TCBers in my office is, I just want her to be happy. It doesn't feel like anything I do is enough. So hear that, you abiders. So guess how much closeness Elvis is going to want to have now that he feels criticized. Instead, what's he going to do instead of being close? The exact thing that the abider wants the least. He's gone, man. He's going to pull away further. He's out in the mountains somewhere, out of Dodge, on the golf course. And now Priscilla feels really disconnected and abandoned and not close. He's on Neptune emotionally. So what does she do? She's going to up the ante and be more demanding and critical, which is going to make TCB Elvis pull further away. And this is one of the most common dances we see in marriages, the approacher-avoider dance. Okay. So that's some levels. That's some dances. What do we tell these people to do? Yes, sir. Well, having talked to you, Rich, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, you seem like a pretty integrated guy. The goal is to be a combination of both. You're a combination of two extremes. You're either super abider, like crying in the closet, or you're like doing math problems. Like, okay. Question? Yeah. Tell you what, bring it back up after the talk, Q&A. I'll try to help you make sense of it. We'll try to figure it out. Good. In fact, I'm about to talk about ways to grow at each level right now, so that might be relevant. So, what do we do? How do we grow? Let's start with TC Beers. Learn to see the relational world, the emotional world as valid. I hope what you're hearing from me this morning, that's, you know, obvious. A lot of guys feel like that if we're going to be into being emotionally connected, you know, it means we have to, like, open up on the golf course, you know. Like, hey, guys, I got this aching void within me, you know. Or, you know, the TCB ladies, they're like, okay, fine, let's just forget the problem and emote. That's fine, you know, that's real warm stuff. No, all it means is that you have to have some relationships in which you're not alone. Hello, okay? And there's a lot of talk to us guys, there's a lot of talk nowadays about how, you know, women are so, you know, they're hardwired into relating and men are more into achievement and goal attainment, you know, the Venus and Mars kind of stuff. And there's some validity to that, but don't buy the whole enchilada, all right? I mean, think about it. How did all this marriage stuff begin? I mean, God didn't come to Adam in the garden and say, you know, Adam, I know you're great with your mountain bike and your ESPN, but I'm going to create this woman. And I'm going to say this. She's going to need a lot, you know? I mean, you're going to have to learn communication skills and, you know, share your feelings. But do this one for me, Adam, please. You know, we've been through a lot. No, that's not what God said. God comes and he says, Adam, I see that you are in a place of great need. Let me give you something that you desperately need. God's looking at how emotionally needy the man was. Let me give you a helper, like our question last night. Now, to the degree that any of us, man or woman, are out of touch with that longing, that need, that we're not seeing relationship as valid somehow, I think we're in some way out of step with the way God created us to function. If you're not getting the validity of that, you'll be out of step in some way. And there'll be fruit of it somewhere in your life, usually in some other area. Will produce symptoms somewhere else. Anger or loneliness, depression, addiction, substitutes. You'll produce some nasty fruit if you can't do emotional connection. Okay, so TCBers, if you do not care about this stuff or see it as valid, see that as a problem. All right, everything else on this planet is longing. Paul says it groans. So if you aren't, check your ticket stub. Make sure you got off at the right planet. And if your spouse is telling you you don't get it, believe them. Let them teach you. Talk to your body of Christ people, all right? So see this as valid. Number two, learn what it means to be with. As we said, TCBers think... Let me ask it. What do TCBers feel like they need to do when someone comes to them and says, I'm hurting, or I'm mad, or I'm sad? They're problem solvers, remember. What do they feel like they have to do if you bring them feelings? Usually they feel like they need to fix it in some way, right? Take on the problem, resolve it, change it, whatever. Which is overwhelming to anyone to have to be on call 24/7. This person always emoting into my life and I have to fix it, for crying out loud. So they get sick of their spouse's emotional needs and eventually blow them off. And we're off to the dances. Okay? Well, here's good news, TCBers. You don't have to fix. Let me give you just a simple little model for making sense of hearing your spouse, or actually how to be with anyone, anywhere, practically, in a loving way when they're in pain. Or when they're struggling. This is my little model. When somebody is struggling, you can either blow off, fix, or be with. And this applies everywhere. Your kid hates their dinner. Blow off is like, well, think about the starving kids in Africa. Don't want to hear about it. Fix is, well, baby, we're just going to call Domino's and get you like double extra cheese and cheesy crust too. Gonna make it all better. With is, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. A lot of times, you know, don't listen, Mom, but yeah, a lot of times I don't like it either. It's no fun to not like your dinner. It's all you're going to get, though. That's what we got. Love and Limits. Remember Love and Limits from last night? With means I just love you and I'm with you. Somebody who's lost a loved one. Blow off is, well, I mean, you know, with the Lord, all things work together. You know, it probably was the best thing. Fix is, let's just get out of this funeral and go have a pate. Let's go to New Orleans. Let's just have some fun. With is, you know why you don't know what to say at a funeral? Because there's nothing to say. With is, we're with y'all. We love y'all so much. We're going to walk through this with you. In other words, what emotions need is with. It's God's favorite preposition, by the way. Look it up. Yeah, I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God will make it all better. No, I'll be with you. Emmanuel, God with us. I'll be with you always and into the end of the age. With. God uses with all the time. It's his favorite thing to do. And he created us to where emotions heal by just being next to someone who loves us. So with your spouse, they're talking about their heart. They had a hard day. You don't need to fix it. You don't need to have to change it. All you need to do is say, baby, I so care. What do you need from me? Which is one of my favorite questions. We'll get to that later. I so care. Sounds like you had an awful day. I'm just with. Okay? Now, you're done. Love accomplished. High five. You can hit the locker room. All right? 9 times out of 10, when you ask them, what do you need? They'll say nothing. I just want you to know. I just want you with me. Okay? If they do say, well, make all my life better, say, I don't think I can do that, but I can love you. Okay? Now, a TCB guy asked me at a conference not long ago, he goes, you're talking about that being with thing, like, what if their feelings are wrong? I mean, she's saying that no one in the church likes her, and that's just not true. Shouldn't I tell her she's wrong to not feel that way? Granted, most of our pathological wounded feelings are incorrect. That's kind of why they're pathological and wounded. But in order to get someone to see that they are incorrect, you got to hear them first. In other words, there's sort of an ordo salutis here. You got to take it step by step. And until someone feels heard and gotten and cared about in their pain, they're not really open to new information. Once they feel heard, I told him, you can swing back in and say, you know what? Baby, I've learned some things that might mitigate against some of your feelings about the people in the church. If you ever want to hear them, please let me know. And she can approach you on her terms. But you can't go busting in there to change how she feels, especially if you hadn't heard her first. So, fight against that need to fix and learn what it means to be with. Just that presence. By the way, the reason you resist this is because even though you're a TCB-er and think you operate out of the left side of your brain, you really are driven by an emotional need to fix it. Something in you is uncomfortable. You don't like your spouse being unhappy, and you want it better. Okay, that's an emotional need. Okay. By the way, husbands tend to be the worst at fixing things for their wives. Their wives hate that. But those same wives tend to be the worst at fixing things for their children. Go figure. Now, level four, abiders. Pursuers, what do we tell y'all? Learn to make sense of intimacy that's not necessarily on your terms. In other words, can we make sense of having a kind of closeness that's not exactly the way we want it to be? Intimacy for them might be doing stuff together. Intimacy for them might be just being quiet and hanging out, sitting together while he reads. I mean, if what we're asking for is intimacy, which is real them, real intimacy is really who they are, real them might not want to talk. Real them might be quiet. Can we make room for that? Just because our spouse doesn't want to sit knee to knee and share doesn't mean they're an emotional zombie, okay? So, with intimacy, our terms matter. And their terms matter, which is what we call mutuality. And those are the two basic building blocks of the universe right there, intimacy and mutuality. Mutuality we'll hit next talk. Okay? Another Chris Rock joke for you abiders, level four people. He says, when your woman says, I wish we talked more, what she means is, I wish I talked more and you sat and listened to me. I used to joke, I had a wife and three girls. I lived with four women, and all they did was talk. Okay, I always wanted one of those line judges from tennis, you know, those guys in the tall chair, you know, with the microphone, just every now and then just to say, quiet, please. You know, and everybody get quiet, you know. God, that guy's awesome. I want one of those. All right, related to that, another tip. I'm running out of space down here, but I love this board, man. It's great. I'm just going to call it your feelings. And what I mean by that is remember, connectors, share your feelings, but remember they are your feelings. In other words, it's cool to share your heart, but your feelings, your response, your reactions, your issues are your responsibility, not your spouse's. What that sounds like is this. Instead of saying, I feel lonely in our marriage. Trojan virus implication there being, what you gonna do about it, bozo? Let the love begin. Come on. Responsibility says, I'm feeling lonely, and I just wanted you to know. This may be my issue. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm going to talk to some of my Body of Christ people about it. But I want you to know so you can be with me. Hear the responsibility in that? You feel how different that is? How good that would feel to your problem solver spouse? That you otherwise would feel like you're dumping another feeling on their doorstep to get fixed. And then they would get defensive and then they'd pull away and we're off to the dances again. Okay? Listen to me on this, level four abiders. The goal of intimacy is to be known, not to make you feel better. The goal of intimacy is not to dump your feelings so you can get rid of them and make it feel better. You can share, but remember, there may be 100 reasons, none of which have anything to do with your spouse, that you are feeling bad, okay? So, our responsibility. Bring them to your Body of Christ people. In fact, another facet, sharing your feelings is not the same as doing your feelings, okay? I yell at you, I freak out in anxiety and say, oh, hey, I was just sharing my feelings. No, you were doing your feelings. Saying, I'm feeling scared about your job is real different from saying, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We're going to be living in a trailer. Hey, I'm just sharing my feelings. No, you're not. Okay? So, parallel to that, sharing your feelings is not the same as dumping your feelings. Okay? All right, thirdly, and this is going to kind of wind us up where we were last night, which is always where I feel like we need to wind up. Number three, abiders, have other resources in your life. A little bit of a cultural no-no for me to say this, but it's true. Marriage was never intended to be the sole resource for meeting your life needs for intimacy. Well, for some kinds of intimacy, okay? But in general, okay? God created us to have, yes, deepest sharing with our spouses, but if you think about it, the Bible talks a lot more about intimacy within the body of Christ than it talks about intimacy in marriage. Okay? Our little Christian culture has turned marriage into this, like, this is the fount of meeting all of your needs, like we said, and we need to have this special little cute couple time together. That's cultural, I think. God says, in the body, love one another. In the body, go to one another, bear with one another, confess to one another, confront one another in the body. And we've lost that. Because we're not safe, because we gossip, because we Bible verse each other, our culture's not safe, so we turn marriage into this place where we're supposed to get all of our needs met. No wonder we are disappointed. And no wonder singles are like panicking. What if I never get married? I'm going to miss out on the font of wonder. Okay? So we got to have, abiders especially, we got to have rich, truth-telling relationships in our lives. And going to them, interacting with them, getting filled up. And when we leave them, we're filled up, we get some goodies, we come home to our spouse, we don't have that urgency, that insecurity, that need, and it doesn't set us off on the dance and presto, okay? Like I've told you, I'm more of the abider. And you remember my Whose Day Was Worse War story from last night? No, that's next talk. I'll tell it to you next talk. Whose Day Is Worse War? It'll be relevant to this. But anyway, one of the perks of working with psychologists is you have live-in mental health treatment. So I'm ending the day, and I'm thinking, man, I'm so tired, and I'm so bummed out. I can't wait to go home and complain to my wife, and she's going to be all nurturey and lovey, and I'm going to feel a lot better. And then something made me stop and said, dude, you know, those who are about to die salute you. You know, if you think that's going to work, you're going to go home all needy and she's going to fill you up. You're just going to start you on the dance. And so I stepped next door to Jim Brown's office, one of my partners, and actually sat on his couch and was talking to him about the day and my clients, and I was mad and I hated insurance companies and blah, blah, blah. And actually when we were talking, the phone rang and it was Norma. And he answered it because nobody else was at the office. He's like, yeah, doing therapy on your husband. Well, yeah, he'll be home soon. Anyway, I get like loved on. Like he's hearing me and caring about me and taking care of me, Body of Christ style. He's caring about my day. And I left just like, you know, with a skip in my step. And I walk in the door and Norma's like, how's your day? And I'm like, man, it was tough, but I'm fine. Okay, and we didn't do the dance. Most marriages are what I call two ticks and no dog. I need from you. No, I need from you. No, I've had a hard day. No, I've had a hard day. You know, you got it easy. I'm here with the kids. You know, two ticks and no dog. So we got to get a dog in there, all right? The dog is the body of Christ. What a horrible thing to say. But we'll scratch that from the talk, from the recording, all right? We can cut that out. But literally, our resource, our fuel source is each other, not your marriage. You need to come to your marriage with a full picnic basket, not an empty one, all right? So, the goal is intimacy and mutuality. And in order to do that, TCBers, we need your stability, but you need to be growing to know your heart to see the validity of the emotional world. But us level four abiders, intimacy means that if we're going to share our heart, we got to care about Elvis's heart too, all right? And so even when we're sharing our heart, we're owning our own feelings and asking ourselves, can I hold on to this? So we're not overwhelming them. But level three is remembering all they got to do is be with. And level four is helping out by saying, hey, you don't need to fix this, just want to share it, you be with me in it. Okay, and so both of them can come closer. Level three is learning about depth. Level four is learning about frontal lobes. And they meet in the middle, all right? Because mutuality is as important as intimacy. All right, you want to do some questions now? You want to take a break?